and so to talk about that. And then also, I mentioned Sunday, what you must do with the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to do that, but also I wanted to share what I'm going to share with you tonight, and then I realized it's really one and the same. So tonight, maybe we'll just be a springboard for what we want to share. And so, you know, the gospel, we've heard Brother Bram say so many times, you know, it wouldn't do any good for us to preach Noah's message or, you know, some previous age. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, we know that the Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. We know there is a portion of the Word of God that is for us today.
Right.
Right? There's no question about that. We know God is doing something today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really, what we believe, if we're not connected to what God is doing today, then it's pretty much in vain, right? Mm-hmm. So this gospel that we believe, and when we look into these truths, really the bottom line is when it all comes right down to whatever it is we're talking about, whatever we're preaching, whatever the topic is, it all boils down, it needs to come right down to our day, what it means to you and I, and how we can overcome in our day and know where we belong in God's plan so we can be what He wants us to be.
Right.
I mean, it all has to come to that, or else it's not doing us any good.
Right.
Right? I mean, I know it's okay for us to understand things of previous days because that's showing us how it come to us. But really, we've got to understand how this gospel is right here among us today, what it is, and how to live it, what it's here for,
right,
how to recognize it. And so, Brother Rem tells us this is the golden age. And so, I've probably many times I've tried to express this, but we want to get into the cycle of what God's doing,
yeah,
right, for us, mm-hmm, right? And so, if you understand all the ages of God, everything He was doing, it was leading to now.
Yes.
As I've said, you know, the scripture said, the bride hath made herself ready, you know, rejoice. Because of all these ages, God was working to get to the place where He could have this bride who's without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And finally, now she's here,
mm-hmm,
right? And so you think of all the pain and the sorrow and suffering and all the striving and everything that took place throughout all the years of all the millions of people, God moving and working and finally getting to the place where He's got that bride. No wonder He could say, rejoice, rejoice, heaven. Because it's finally, all this has come down and God has done what He said He's going to do. And so that's what we want to rejoice about. And so we want to get into the cycle of what God's actually doing in our day, and not something else, some other age. And so Brother Rand tells us this is the golden age. Why? Because the culmination of everything has all come here. This is it. This is the golden age of all the ages that the plan of redemption was working to bring forth. Here we are now, in the transition of our bodies being changed and that marriage supper taking place. And so, we read here in the scriptures where it said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He's reading there, and the angel asked Zechariah, you know what this is? And he doesn't know. He's seeing this image of the candlestick and all those things. And Brother Bram describes this. I'll be reading some quotes out of the Message of Grace. And so, but Brother Man is speaking about this, and he's saying that this scripture was speaking there when it's speaking of Zerubbabel. Zeru is out of Babel, Zerubbabel. And so, this was in the time where Israel had been, you know, they'd been carried away into Babylon.
Yeah.
And God was going to bring them back for a purpose, because we read there in the scriptures where He said that He would come, the Lord would come, and He would set as a refiner's fire, and He would judge the Levites. He would judge the ministry and get the ministry back in place to where they could finally make an offering that was acceptable, that was righteous, right? And He would condemn the wicked and all that. And so you have to realize that here at the end time, this is something God had to do. He had to come and get the ministry all straightened out.
Right.
So because the ministry is one talking to you.
Yeah.
So He's got to get them purified, get them so that when they're purified, then now the people can come, and now we can all be accepted, and the Lord can come to His temple.
Yeah.
You understand what He's saying there? And so He's speaking there how that they were carried away into Babylon, and so now this was at the time, and we'll read the quote in a minute, but this was at a time where God was going to rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. And so this Zerubbabel was, Brother Bram said, was a prince there. That was, and the scripture was saying, you know, that he had laid the foundation, the corner stone or the foundation of it, and he was going to finish it, and the scripture said he would bring forth the headstone. We call it the capstone. So it's interesting that this man started it and he finishes it, and he's in time. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. It started with him, but he's also the capstone.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is speaking of the restoration, bringing us back to the foundation of the Word, right? And so that Christ could come.
Right.
This is the whole thing. That's the theme of the entire message, you know, that we know today. And so he's speaking there. And so he's going to rebuild the temple. And the temple is a place where you can worship. The temple is a place where God would meet us, right? He meets us. And so the whole thing, and remember, the church is the temple of God. And if the church is all in Babylon, all in all kinds of confusion and all kinds of false doctrine, how can he come to that temple?
Yeah.
He can. So there has to be a restoration to get us out of Babylon, get us like he did with Israel, get them out of Babylon, back into the place where they're supposed to be, and rebuild that temple so God can come and be among his people.
Yeah.
This is what was happening. And so the scripture is telling us there that this prince, Zerubbabel, which is his name means out of Babylon, this fella was going to be involved and be in this process. And so Brother Branham, as we'll read it there, he speaks of this one who's going to bring forth the capstone, bring forth the headstone, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace. Yeah. Not just one grace, but two. Shouting double grace to it. And so we look at this and we realize that we're at the end of the Gentile dispensation. And we call it that back then, end of their Gentile dispensation, or being carried away to Babylon. It was the end of that dispensation. These things were happening. Here we are at the end of our Gentile dispensation, where God's getting ready to turn back to the Jews, and the same thing is happening. He's got to bring us back to the place where we can have a restoration, and that's why I read in Malachi 3, so that the Lord, who we seek, can suddenly come to his temple, so he can come and judge and be a refiner and do the things. And so that's the reason why I read that. And so here we are again. God is in process of rebuilding the place of worship.
Right.
Rebuilding a church, bringing a church back into restoration so he can come. He, the person of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The person of Jesus Christ can come and live in us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, as we know, justification, sanctification, and what Pentecost we thought was Holy Ghost, but was really just restoration of the gifts, another phase of the movement of the Holy Ghost. But after that is the person, and that person of the Holy Ghost is Christ. Mm-hmm. And when he comes to his bride.
Right.
So as all this unfolds, a bride has to be made ready after justification, after sanctification, after Pentecostal outpouring and restoration of gifts. Something had to come, bring a restoration, so that she could be that temple that he could quickly come to.
Right.
That he could come and be the husband to the bride. See, it all is culminating now where we are now.
Right.
And so he's speaking of this, but the whole thing that when Brother Ray's preaching this sermon called The Message of Grace, the whole thing there is that how's this all going to happen? The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, this fellow that's going to do this, which we know is a type, so we can say it's the same for our day, that this word of the Lord came to him and said, it's not going to be by denomination. It's not going to be not by power, but by my spirit.
Right.
By a pouring out of his spirit back into his people. This is how this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Not by denominations, not by strength of man, anything else, but by a movement of the Holy Ghost in the midst of his people. Amen. That's how this restoration is going to come. That's how this thing's going to be taken care of. So without it, without the Holy Ghost moving in our midst, there is no restoration.
Right.
Right? It can't be by good programs. It can't be by getting together. We'll plan this all out. This is how we're going to have service.
Right.
That's not it at all. The way it happens is by the Holy Ghost moving sovereignly on his people, on the ministry, and on the singers, and all God moving by the Holy Spirit. Then something can get done.
Right.
But without that, see, and so we need more of the movement of the Holy Spirit, not just in the ministry, not just in the singers, but in everyone.
Right?
If we want to see God moving, it's by the Spirit of God.
That's it.
Right? That's how it's going to happen. It's always been that way.
Right.
And so, let me read some of these. Just, I don't have a lot of quotes, but I want you to hear what Brother Branham was saying about these things. So he says there in the Message of Grace, he said, we're familiar with this scripture that we read in the Bible, those who read the Bible. He said, we know that was during the time of the preparation of the restoration of Israel. And Zerubbabel was a great prince among the people who had laid the foundation of the building. And I'm going to point this out. I've noticed this many times when Brother Branham will say, now, put on your spiritual thinking cap here. When he says that, he's wanting you to realize that what we're talking about is happening again.
Right.
That it's going on right now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever the topic is that he's wanting you. And so it's just like I've said, Jesus didn't come out plainly and say, you know, he would answer in parables, or he would answer in certain ways, because you've got to get it by revelation.
Right.
He can't come and say, Elijah, you're my son. Mm-hmm. He's not going to point blank tell you that. But you've got to receive a revelation, then you'll know
right.
You're his son. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times when Jesus, they'd say, tell us plainly, or, you know, or what about this? And he would just answer in some way, because he knows that if they're a son of God, they'll catch it.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they won't.
Yeah.
Right? And so Brother Branham would do the same thing. He said, put on your spiritual thinking cap. He could stand there and say, now I'm going to tell you, this is going on right now in my ministry. He didn't say that.
Right.
But he would say, put on your spiritual thinking cap. And so he says this here. He says, now I want you to put on your spiritual thinking anointing jackets. He used the word jacket in other places, thinking cap or whatever. Your anointing jacket this morning. As we think, this great prince had determined to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then when he did, he laid the foundation stone. And we read further, we find out that God said, Zerubbabel has laid the foundation with his hands. He shall also bring forth the headstone. And I want you to notice, he never said he'd bring forth the cornerstone. He shall bring forth the headstone.
Right.
That's the finishing up. Right? Cornerstone's where you start.
Right.
Right? We know that the scripture said Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. But he's also the headstone. And now if we think for a few minutes, now Brother Ram's going to say something here that I think is what he's pointing back when he said, put on your spiritual thinking jacket. He said, now if we would think for a few minutes, the seventh church age messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit, not by the power, by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit, God will bring forth a church in the last days.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So Brother Man, showing us this that we're reading here about Zerubbabel, who's laid it and he started it, he's going to finish it. And in this movement, he's coming and he's shouting, he's crying, grace, grace, double grace.
Yeah.
Not just grace to be saved, but a double measure of God coming now in unmerited favor to a church that had failed, and reaching down with a double measure of grace, picking them up and placing them where he would have them, because without his grace, it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Right? And so he's showing us here, in this hour, this is going on, and it's a message of grace,
yes.
Message of double grace.
Right.
And it is bringing a restoration. Mm-hmm. It is bringing a rebuilding of the temple of God, that Christ could come to his people and live there. And the way this is happening, not in denominations or whatever, but it's a move of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And so that should make us even more desperate to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And there are things you can do to make way for that.
Right.
You can create an environment in your life where the Holy Spirit finds you as a resting place.
Yeah.
Right? Because remember, He's got a nature.
Yes.
Holy Spirit has a nature. And that nature doesn't want to come and light on a wolf.
That's right.
Right? So what you do, how your actions, the way you, what you spend your time doing, all of that creates an environment whether the Holy Spirit's happy to come or not.
Right.
Right? And so there's a lot more people need to pay a lot more attention to that than what I think they do, because, you know, a lot of people say, I want God to move more in my life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Well, what are you doing to make Him more welcome?
Right.
You know, the prophet said He will always come where He's welcome.
That's right.
So He's not going to go into a bunch of filth.
No.
Right? No. We know that. So this is when this restoration takes place, and it's by the Holy Spirit. What was the closing out of the Old Testament? What was the last thing that was said in the closing out of the Old Testament? We're talking about a restoration. We know that, you know, what the scripture says about this. What's the last thing? It's Malachi 4, 5, and 6. She has it there. You're familiar with it, right? Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The Old Testament closed out, and God said, if you want to know when this comes, if you want to be able to recognize when this, what's to come and recognize it when it gets here, watch for Elijah.
Yeah.
Watch for a ministry like that, and watch for him to bring a restoration. If you want to know, there it is.
Yeah.
If you want to know when this day that the Lord's going to come and he's going to be like an oven and burn all the wicked and all the righteous are going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked, if you want to know how to know when that's coming, watch for Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for him. Watch for a restoration, which ties it back to this.
Yeah.
Zerubbabel bringing a restoration so Christ could come, so God could quickly come to his temple.
Yeah.
See, and so here we are.
Right. Yeah.
It's going on. It's been going on for years.
Yeah.
And so somehow Satan's lulled people where they're no longer, seem like they're no longer excited about it.
Yeah.
This is when God has swooped down. We sang Sweet Chariot or whatever, Swing Low or whatever, come down. This is it. This is our chariot. This is Elijah's chariot to sweep down and pick us up.
Right.
Right. To take us up into a body change. So the Old Testament ends that way. And here we are at the New Testament ends with Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
This dispensation ends that way. So the Lord can come to his temple. So you know, if you go back in the scriptures, you read about Elijah. And in the days of Elijah, the children of Israel were halt between two opinions.
Right.
You know, they were like, well, God is God, or, you know, Baal, or what, you know. And they were all, and you know, remember one thing Brother Rem said, bring spiritual amnesia?
Mm-hmm.
Being halt between two opinions.
Right.
Right? Because people get in a situation where they're just lackadaisy on them, you know, and they're not, if you're not standing for something, you're falling.
Yeah.
Right? And they go, well, you know, they're just kind of wishy-washy. No, we should be at it. We should be find out what truth is and stand for truth.
Right.
But we just, well, you know, hold but to, and you're putting yourself in a situation where you're forgetting who you are and your Christian experience just kind of just goes into nothing almost because you're not serious.
Right.
You can't do that. And so Israel, here they are, they've gotten into a situation where they halfway serve God and they halfway serve. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
A people who's serving the living God but also serving Baal.
Yeah.
And just kind of, and when you get like that, it's something has to happen. And Brother Brent, here he is with the spirit of Elijah upon him, and he's telling us spiritual amnesia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Israel had spiritual amnesia. So it takes something mighty to shake you out of that. It takes something, like he said, getting you in familiar places or something like that. But it takes something to happen to shake people out of a situation like that.
Right.
So here we are again in this religious world today where nobody knows what truth is, you know. And God would send something that would shake people and get them out of that spiritual amnesia so they could once again know that they're sons and daughters of God. And not have to, you know, not have to you know, their experience be dwindling down. And so Elijah was there, and God sent Elijah to deal with that situation. And keep in mind that during that time, there was a Jezebel. Mm-hmm. Female represents a church. Jezebel was an unrighteous woman, a wicked woman, you know, idolatry, the whole thing. She was everything we shouldn't, a church shouldn't be in a woman. And yet Ahab had married her. Mm-hmm. And so, but God sent Elijah there. And you know the story, how he built the altar and God answered by fire. God answered by fire. God answered the ministry of Elijah. When all the rest of the ministries, all the rest of the churches, and all the rest of the worldwide ministries, if you understand what I'm saying, when none of them could get results, God answered by fire.
Right.
And so brought a restoration to Israel to stop that situation. God turns around and puts that same spirit over on John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is there to prepare the way, to get the people ready, so the Lord could come to his temple. So the Lord could come. And so there, that ministry of Elijah once again. And John, you know, he's having to deal with a church system that's the same way. They're all just, right? Mm-hmm. And he's there. He has to deal with a Jezebel. Right, loses his head because he speaks out against the actions of them. And so, but you see, God, there he is, using again, and he prepared. The scriptures lets us know that the people who believed John the Baptist believed Jesus. Yeah. The ones who rejected Jesus also rejected John. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. Why? Because John was preparing the way, and those who listened, well, then they received the Lord at his coming. But see, that happened in Elijah, John the Baptist, and now here it is again in the ministry of William Branham. Same condition, sent for the same reason, having to deal with a Jezebel, a church system, right? Come out of her, my people. That's what the whole thing is all about.
Right.
Restoring a people back to the foundation and building it back up so that the Holy Ghost himself can come to his bride. To dwell in her.
Right.
Amen. And so, remember the last feast, Feast of Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. That whole cycle, and it ends by those last three, trumpets, atonement, tabernacle, and the whole thing's under tabernacles. Because all of the other feasts throughout the years was all bringing it to that one place where they finally goes in and God, Israel has accepted their sins are and they go out and they live in these booths in the, you know, celebrating in the presence of God. Because when we get to the end of the cycle, that's what happens, or else redemption didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this whole thing, it has to come to a place where it's not a dud.
Right.
It comes to the place where God comes, mm-hmm. and a people is restored, and he comes, and he dwells, and we're in his presence now, and he's living among us.
Right.
That's how it has to end.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it, and so that takes us right into eternity.
Right.
So you see the cycles. So, brother, sister, this is what we should expect. This is what we should be, as Brother Ben said, agonizing with God to fulfill his word. This is what we should be looking for, longing, saying, God, this restoration, this mighty move where you come and you dwell in the midst of your people, that's what we want. We won't settle for anything less.
Right, yeah.
That's what we must have because he promised it. We see it in his word. We see the plan coming all the way down, and it has fallen right at our feet.
Yeah.
We can see that and know that. And so, in this restoration, he would come, and that's when he would get his bride and take her away to a marriage supper. Mm-hmm. We know that. The wife has made herself ready.
Amen.
So this message is a message of grace. I said a while ago, not just single grace. It's not just grace to save us, not just the grace to justify us, sanctify us, give us a spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. You realize, you know, he saved us, but then the church got all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And there had to be a breach made between seven church ages and seven seals, because if that breach had not have been made, we'd be stuck in seven church age doctrines.
Yeah.
Right? God had to come and make the difference. It's all Jesus Christ, okay?
Right.
He if he hadn't have come the way he did 2,000 years ago, the whole thing would be lost. But he had to come again in this day to tell us the truth. And he did that. Right? How many people, I heard this, a preacher say this here recently, how many people in the days of Noah got the word from the Lord that it's going to rain and build an ark?
Right.
One man. God judged the whole world off of the revelation of one man. Mm-hmm. And if God did that back then, he can do it again.
Amen.
Because he's sovereign and he never breaks his pattern. He does it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one man's revelation in this whole world will have to be judged by that revelation if it's God.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And everybody's, oh, you some guy from Kentucky. Well, all right. Let's see how it ends up. You'll find out. Get back in the Word and you'll find out God does what he wants. And this is exactly with the Word.
Amen.
Not moved away from it one bit. And so, it's a message of grace that has come. A double measure of grace.
Mm-hmm.
To reach down to a church that had the door locked. And him knocking, trying to get back in. And by the grace of God, he instead of just saying, you know what? You're going to do that? I'm just done. I'll find somebody else. No, he didn't do that.
Right.
Brother Rand was telling us in this sermon, the message of grace, he was talking about Abraham. Abraham did what he shouldn't have done. Went off down there and did all those things. But God, by the grace of God, picked him right up. Was right there. He said that, I forget which one, Moses. Talk about Moses, where he was supposed to speak. Smote it first, but then now speak. And he went down there and he smote it again. And for that very reason, he couldn't enter into the promised land. Right?
Right.
But Brother Graham said, but when it come time for Moses to die, Christ was there.
Right. Yeah.
Grace of God saved him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The grace of God with Abraham anyway. Mm-hmm. The grace of God with us anyway.
Amen.
Right? And he's proved it. Because if he hasn't proved it, then why do we have this word among us that we have?
Yeah.
If he's not done that.
Right.
Brother, sister, I remember sitting in Pentecost, the nothing that was there.
Yeah.
You know, just the limited. I know. So God is proving his word. And we don't want to become desensitized to what he's doing.
Right.
There are things that you can do to make yourself sensitized.
Sure.
Right? And so, there are things, you know, people want to go out in the sun and they don't want to burn, so they put something on them to keep them from burning. You know, there are things you could do to make sure that you get burnt or whatever, and that's probably not a good example, but you understand, there are things we can do to become sensitized to the things that God is doing.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't just blow over, doesn't just pass over so we miss it. So it's a message of grace. And so God fulfilling his promises bring the presence of his word. Filling us with the presence of his word. And I'm saying it that way because when we say, oh, fill us with the Holy Ghost, we automatically think about tongues and all that stuff. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Those gifts, you know, that's not the fullness of his word. I'm talking about the person of the full revelation of Jesus Christ, the entire Bible revealed to us and come down and now is here to live in us.
Amen.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Not just justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts, but the person.
Right.
The wheat itself, the grain. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, this is a message of grace, and the scripture said it would bring forth the headstone crying, grace, grace.
Yeah.
Capping off the work of God. Finishing off
right.
The work of God. Now, you know, grace means unmerited favor. Now, think about that. And I hope everybody here, and if anybody listening, can listen to this closely. Unmerited favor. People still have a lot of struggles with their works having to be involved to be saved.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of things you can look at. Just look up in the scriptures, Jesus died in vain, that phrase, or just died in vain. And you'll see Brother Ram talks about it. He says a lot of people say, you know, we've got to keep the commandments. Well, if you have to keep the commandments to be saved, then Jesus died in vain. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we're not, and I'll read a quote here in just a minute to straighten out some of it, but we're not talking about being greasy grace.
Right.
But to the place where we understand what grace did for us. Mm-hmm. That we were nothing. We're still nothing.
Right.
We were nothing. We weren't looking for Him. He's the one that came.
Right.
He's the one that did it. And so come down, and we didn't merit anything. Mm-hmm. Except judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But because of His sovereignty and His love and His grace, He would come down and make a way for us when there was no way.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it all through the Bible. Make a way for us where there was no way.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with our works.
Right.
Because we didn't have them. Our righteousness is filthy rags. You think the Lord wants to have filthy rags? He doesn't. But yet we still get in this situation where we think, oh, we've got to do this, or we got to. You are saved by unmerited favor. You are flat out saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And of course it makes a change in your life. Yeah. I'll read here in just a moment, but there's not one thing you can do to save yourself except just accept what God has done.
Right.
That's all you can do is accept it. Brother Brim said of Jesus, if salvation comes by works, then Jesus died in vain. And he said that in The Mighty Conqueror.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If salvation comes by works, just read Romans. Romans is very clear.
Sure.
And yet, I know I got family. I know people that they got to do this and got to do that and all these things. And, you know, you wonder how they get there.
Yeah.
Message of grace. Brother Bram says, but now according to the prophecy, speaking of what we hear here, there will come a headstone. And I want you to notice when the headstone comes, the prince that's going to cry out, the message will cry, grace, grace. For it's by grace we are saved, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. And the message of grace has been trampled upon under feet of men until it's become disgrace. Some of them runs out into eternal security, and some of them runs out into everything. Right? We know that.
Right.
You know, Brother Ram, at the beginning of this, he talked about how he is so criticized for preaching grace. Right? He talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but the true message of grace remains the same. And there's where Satan tries to knock it out from the church. But it's by the grace of God that we are saved by. Brother Branham had just had the experience where he went out into the woods and he saw the rainbow and stuff and Jesus of the old, Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. He just had that experience and had been preaching that, but then he had this supernatural experience of God vindicating that by the word and a supernatural thing. And so he refers to that now. He says, so in the deity of Jesus Christ, if the Lord God would come here and confirm that that is truth, not only that, but his word, by his word he confirms that it's truth, and by signs and wonders and he confirms that it's truth, then also grace is truth. So he's saying, the same God is vindicating these other things. Grace, this message of grace is truth also.
Mm-hmm.
Then, he said, then, and if it is true, then why could anyone criticize and say that grace is wrong, that we're saved by works? It's bizarre. We are saved by grace, that through faith, not by works. Works show that you have been saved. But what saves you is the grace of God. Grace saves you. Grace is what God done for you. Works is what you do for God to show appreciation to God for what he did. By grace, you are saved. He's talking about a woman and a man. He says, the man says to a woman, if you'll be a good wife And we'll have children, and you'll be a good mother to those children, and you'll keep the home, and you'll wash the clothes, and you'll do all these things. I'll work till my hands bleed if I have to take care of you. And they get married. And he said, then what if she doesn't keep house, she doesn't take care of the kids? What if she, the church, what if she fell through with her part of the plan? Brother Branham said it would take grace to keep that family together. Think about it. Where would the church be if it wasn't for the grace of God?
Sure, yeah.
Because we fell through.
Sure.
Right? With our part of the deal. You know, Paul said, don't fail of the grace of God. Amen. That's what we shows the appreciation. Our work is what we do for God, to show our appreciation for what God did for us. By grace, you are saved. Amen. I have another quote from the same sermon on my phone that I wanted to. If you're struggling with this, you got to accept what God has done for you. And it makes a difference what you have done. You accept it. This is what Brother Ram says. He said, let me say this, my sinner friend. You may be here this morning a prostitute. You may be here this morning a woman chaser. You may be here a drunkard or a gambler or a murderer. You might be here as an impure husband, an impure wife. You might be the vilest sinner. You say, I'm past the stage of redemption. No, you're not.
Right.
Brother Grant says, no, you're not, or you wouldn't be at the church this morning.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not, or you wouldn't be at church tonight.
Right.
No, you're not, or you wouldn't be streaming. Regardless of what you've done. I don't think any of us has done these things. Maybe some of it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you hear what he said? You might, the devil would tell you, oh, I'm past redemption. No, you're not. You wouldn't be at church this morning. Grace will make a way for you in this dark hour if you'll just accept it. Adam had to be willing to accept it, and so do you. Accept it. Amen? Talked about the grace reached over in Noah's time. How God saved Noah. Brother Bram tells a story, and you probably remember it. He tells a story about a king. The king had one son. And one day, some peasant person, I don't know who it was, got mad, jealous over the king's son, and killed his son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the authorities hunted the guy down, brought him in, put him in prison. You can imagine the terror of what that would be.
Sure.
Knowing that you had killed the king of the domain, you killed his son, and now they've got you. And they set up a trial, found him guilty, absolutely, totally guilty, and he sentenced to capital punishment in the worst way. Brother Ram said, when he's telling this story, he says that he's going to be killed by the inch until his life goes out of it. So that's the terror that's coming. He's laying there in the prison. They're not feeding him. All he's got is a loincloth on. He's there. You can imagine his condition. And before they go to execute him sometime, whatever, the king himself goes down there and goes into the prison to see the young man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has heard the story. I know Brother Daniel has. I know he would, because he's listening to the message like as a minister does. A minister should.
Right.
I'll say that for anybody that might be listening. You should be.
Right.
You expect your people to know truth. You better know truth.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so he goes down in there and he says, why did you kill my son? You know, this boy knew. He's like, yep. You know, and he said, why did you do it? And he said, it was just, the boy said, just my stupidity. He He said, I was just jealous. And in a rage, I stabbed, with a sword. I killed your son. He said, I it was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm at your mercy. I'm your just judgment, Yeah, I deserve it. Said the king, turned around and walked out. Now, every one of us killed Jesus Christ.
Right.
Every one of us. King walks out of the prison, goes into the people running the prison. He said, I want you to destroy every record for this man. Destroy every record of what he's done. Clean him up. I'm going to send some royal apparel down here for him to wear.
Yep.
Feed him.
Yep.
And so, just a little while later, here comes the, Brother Bam said, here comes the limousine or Cadillac or whatever up. They roll out the carpet. And they bring this young man out. And the king says, from this day forward, you're my son. That's the gospel.
Amen.
That's what he's done.
Yeah.
That is exactly what he's done.
Yeah.
He became sin. He became us that we could become him.
Amen.
The righteousness of God in him. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what this gospel, and so let me bring it to this day. There, here he is again. He's appeared once again and he's been crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, sister, we don't want to do that. We don't want to crucify him. We don't want to reject this word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. If you reject this word, God's so wonderfully vindicating to us. That's what it is. It's crucifying him again, the Son of God afresh.
Yeah.
That's why Brother Branham had to preach that. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what comes after the indictment? The judgment. So that's what is going on. So I'll end by saying this. Sensitize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In radio reception, there's two things you got to have. Sensitivity and selectivity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to pick out the station, select it, and push all the other ones out.
Yeah.
And then you got to have sensitivity to bring it on in.
Right.
So God has given us the ability, have selectivity, put out everything else, and then zoom in on this word that God has brought to us. Amen. So we can all, so we can pick up in these things that God has got for us and begin to manifest them. Amen. I think that was all the things I had here to share tonight. The things I'm saying tonight, we must have the Holy Ghost. And he must be working in our life.
Right.
Amen.
It's not just to have it,
mm-hmm.
but to be working in our life.
Right.
And there are things that we can do because we have that.
Yeah.
But we've got to know that. How can you serve and love someone that you don't know?
Right.
Do you have to realize that when the Holy Ghost comes to you, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, if you didn't know me, and all of a sudden, you came in and we met for the first time, as soon as we meet, you start gaining insight about me.
Mm-hmm.
What I look like, what I sound like, how I walk. And if you spend very much time with me, then you'll begin to understand what things I think and what my desires are, what I like, what I don't like.
Yeah.
Right? If you have a relationship with someone, you begin to understand that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God doesn't just give you the Holy Ghost, it's for a reason.
Right.
I don't know if the scripture said that you can have power with the Holy Ghost, but it's for a reason, so that we can have his mind, know him, know what he wants done with the word, begin to act out, right?
Yes.
And it's not just him coming and standing here, but it's him coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We become him. Like I heard it today, I think it was, maybe yesterday. When the word of the Lord come to the prophets, and this may be, not be exactly the way you're saying it, but really what it means is the Word of the Lord became prophet, the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They become the Word when the Word comes. Well, let me ask you a question. If He comes to the bride, then what do you become?
Mm-hmm.
You become one with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this little opportunity to sit and think upon Your Word and speak on these things. Lord, where we would be if You hadn't come in this hour to do these things. Your mercy, just pouring it out upon us. Lord, when we were a people that had so messed up, and then today, by a double measure of grace, to reveal Yourself to us. Lord, I pray that we, our sensitivity to these things will be heightened, Lord, so that we give proper attention and proper reception to these things that You're doing, Lord, because You deserve it. For all that You've done, You deserve our utmost, that we could serve You and love You with all of our heart, with all our mind and our strength and everything within us. Pray, God, that You would help that. The world might reject it, but Lord, among Your people, we ask, God, that You would help us, Lord, to be so sensitive to Your moving of Your Spirit. Help us, Lord God, to do things in our life that will make that channel open up, Lord, where You'll be more happy to come and visit with us each day, that we can act out and say and do what You want. We love You, Lord. We ask that You do these things now. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll send more of You.
More of You. Just one.